Please take your Bibles out to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 28. I'd like to read the first seven verses. There's a Bible in the chair in front of you if you need a Bible. Begin in verse 1. I'll read it to you. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you these things.'" For many today, Easter, like Christmas, has lost its meaning. We have this idea that Easter is about Easter baskets, Easter eggs, Easter bunnies, and we forget that Easter is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I Googled Easter on the internet and found that only 42% of Americans view Easter as a religious holiday. Incredible. In the U.S., we spend over $2.1 billion annually on Easter candy. Now that's absolutely amazing. And when you break it down, it comes to about 120 million pounds of candy. Of all of the candy that is made, the most popular one, as you probably would guess, is the Easter Bunny. We will create over 90 million chocolate Easter bunnies for Easter in 2025. This is not what Easter's all about. I'm not here to preach about the chocolate Easter bunnies. I'm here to preach about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
I believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the only hope for a hopeless world. That all of our hopes in this life and beyond the grave lies in the empty tomb. He is not here. As we read, he is risen from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most attested historical fact in all of history. And this morning, as we look through the Gospel of Matthew, we're going to look at the Easter story from Matthew's perspective. All four Gospels present the Easter story, that is the record of the resurrection. So, from Matthew's perspective, I want to focus on specifically in our text verses 5 through 7 concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's begin in verse 5 through 6a. It says, "But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he's risen.'" Let's stop there for a moment. Notice in verse 5, he says, "Do not be afraid," or "fear not." There are many who are worried about life. Look at the world. particularly here now, especially in the United States, we fear terrorism. I've never heard of the MS-13 gang before until recently that are in our land. Terrorism has popped its ugly head here and there, but it's growing in our country. We fear terrorism. There are many who fear bills, mortgage payments, car payments, the next gas bill, gas and electric. We fear about paying off bills. We fear marriages. There are marriages today that are struggling, that are going through hardships. There is a fear concerning marriage. What am I going to do? I'm struggling with my wife. I'm struggling with my husband. And then there's a kids factor. We look at our kids today. We see that the kids have gone astray. Kids have bought into the world system. They bought into the ideologies, fallen into sin, immorality. We're concerned or we're worried about our kids. There are many today that are worried about life, and there are many who are worried about death. One of the greatest fears in life is death. I also Googled this week and found out that 10 out of 10 people will die. I didn't need the answer from Google, but I just wanted to confirm it, that it's a true statement that 10 out of 10 people will die. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "It is appointed to man once to die, then the judgment." And there are two reasons we do not need to be afraid. And the angel gives us hope in the text that we read. First is in verse 5. Jesus, who was crucified. Jesus died upon a Roman cross. As I stated earlier, it's a historical truth about Jesus' death on the cross. And then that prompts the question, who is Jesus Christ? Who's Jesus? Well, he's the eternal Son of God who always existed as the second person of the Trinity in eternity past. And we are told that he is born of a virgin. Born of a virgin. Why? Because he was the sinless Son of God. He is fully God and fully man. He's referred to as the God-man. Jesus voluntarily laid his life down on the cross. Why? To be the substitution of man on the cross. That is, when Jesus died on the cross, he took our place, bore the sin of God. God put all of sin on Jesus Christ on the cross, and he became the substitute of mankind. That is, when God poured his wrath on his Son, he poured his wrath on him to pay the sin debt. He came to be a substitute for us on the cross. If you're with me, say amen. It's wonderful to know that your sins have been forgiven if you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's good news. It's wonderful to know that. I can remember when I first came to Jesus Christ at the age of 18. I was raised in a religious background, went to a religious church, but didn't have a clue of who Jesus Christ was other than some head knowledge of him. But when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior at the age of 18, it was glorious because he changed my life. He forgave my sins, washed me new. He became my substitute on the cross. I wasn't the type of person that went out and overtly sinned, where everybody knew that I was a gangster or sexually immoral or anything like that. But I was a sinner in my heart. I had sinful desires in my heart that I maybe didn't necessarily act out on. I was a sinner in thought and in word, and also in deed. And Jesus Christ changed my life. Why? Because Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. That's the first reason we don't need to be afraid of death. Secondly, verse 6a, it says that Jesus was raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead. That's glorious news. Question is what evidence do we have that he is raised from the dead? Well, verse 6 says that he is not here. In other words, the grave is empty. The tomb is empty. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. There are theories of those who deny the resurrection, and basically, those who do not believe in the resurrection usually fall into these three categories. The first one is that concerning the tomb, thieves came and stole the body of Jesus. Well, notice first of all that in the first five verses that we looked at, that there was a stone that covered the front of the tomb where they could go in. Stone was too large for man to remove, especially that quick. And secondly, there was a Roman seal on that stone to where if anyone broke that seal, it would be immediate death because Rome had put that seal on there. Not only did it have a stone covering the tomb, not only did it have a seal sealed around the stone, but thirdly, notice in the text that two Roman guards were there present. You had to get through the Roman guards in order to get to Jesus. So this theory of thieves coming in and stealing his body is ridiculous. I can get deeper on this, but I think you get the gist so far of my message, is that thieves, there's no way a thief could have come in and stolen the body. Secondly, notice that there are women who came to the tomb. There are some that say that the women came to the wrong tomb. Now, I know women can get lost in directions once in a while driving. But so do us men. Amen? But these women were there on Friday, Thursday night, and they came back on Saturday. I think they would know where the tomb was located. It would be an absolute mockery of these women to say that they went to the wrong tomb. They knew exactly where the tomb was. And the third theory of those who deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ is called the swoon theory. I'll just make it simple and brief. The swoon theory is he really didn't die, but he passed out. He passed out and they put him in the tomb. The only problem with that is that Jesus was beaten 39 lashes, 40 lashes, beaten to a pulp. And not only was he beaten to a pulp, but his side was pierced and blood and water came out, confirming his death. And he died on the cross. In fact, he didn't last very long on the cross when he died. When the Roman soldiers came, the Roman soldiers typically would break the legs of those on the cross so that when they're on their last breath, by knocking their legs out, their body would collapse and it would force them to stop breathing. When they came to Jesus, they didn't need to break his legs because he had already been dead. And they put him in a tomb, sealed it with the Roman soldiers to say that he did not die and passed out would be a ridiculous story to claim to. And somehow crawled out of the grave, pushed the stone away, and said, "I'm here." Also, a fourth point is that there are post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. This is very important. He appeared to Thomas. You might remember Thomas. Thomas said, I won't believe until I touch his hand and his side. Jesus appeared to him. He said, touch me. Does a ghost have flesh and blood? Not only did he appear to Thomas, he appeared to these women. And not only to these women, he also appeared to the disciples. And by the way, to the disciples, not only eyewitnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they all essentially died as martyrs for the faith. No one will die for a lie. They died because they were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they laid their lives down for the truth. If you're with me, say amen. Not only the disciples, but also the Apostle Paul. Before he was Paul, he was named Saul. He was a criminal. He would torment, persecute Christians, have them put to death. And Jesus Christ revealed himself to the Apostle Paul, and Paul had what is referred to as a Damascus Road experience. He was an eyewitness of Jesus Christ. Also, the early church were Jews who came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Jews worshiped on the Sabbath, which was Saturday. Not anymore. These Jewish Christians now worshiped on Sunday. And to be a Jew converted to Jesus Christ in that first century was absolute persecution from the Jews. They now worshiped on Sunday. This is why 2,000 years later, you and me are here on Sunday morning, because Jesus Christ rose on Sunday. If you're with me, say amen. So we see post-resurrection appearances. The scripture says that he was seen for 40 days post-resurrection. And they all were convinced of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by the way, for 2,000 years, lives have been changed because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every single one of you that are born again this morning have a testimony of a transformed life. You are an eyewitness in a sense that you have been changed. You've been washed clean by the precious blood of the Lamb. New lives. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. The new has come. Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the grave on the third day, and we serve a living, risen Savior. Notice with me in verse 6b, our second point, he goes on to say, he is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Come and see. Notice he's not here. This is the angel who was the first one to be the eyewitness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He declares he is gone. He's not here. And then notice he says, come and see the place where the Lord lay. He's giving them an invitation to say, look, it's an empty tomb. Jesus has risen. Look. And he gives an invitation today to the world that he is risen from the grave. By the way, when you look at religious leaders throughout the ages, Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, they're all still dead, cremated, or whatever it may be, in their graves. But Jesus Christ is the only one with an empty tomb that is risen from the dead. If you're with me, say amen. It's glorious news. Glorious news. Now the question is, what is the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What is the significance of it? Well, first of all, he's God. If he rose from the dead, he is God. Jesus predicted this. He said, destroy this temple, this body, and I will raise it in 3 days. Romans chapter 1, verse 4 confirms this. He says, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, and here it is, by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ is God. And if he is God, everything that he said was true. Everything. Because God by nature is truth. He said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You can't get there any other way. You can't get there through another religious leader. Can't get there through Buddha. Can't get there through Muhammad. You can't get there through your good works. You can't get there. It's only by Jesus and Jesus alone. He is God, and he made that bold claim. He also said that I'm the bread of life, that he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus Christ is the thirst quencher. He meets our spiritual hunger needs and our spiritual thirst needs. I don't know about you, but halfway through today, there are times that I just want a bottle of water. Maybe a Pepsi. Anything to drink. But you know what? I'm going to go back to that bottle of water, that Pepsi, later on, because it's not a thirst quencher. I've had some nice meals this week. Some of you all met with me. We had a great meal. It was such a blessing. But you know what? I woke up the next day and I was hungry. When Jesus, being the bread of life, he says he satisfies the deep hunger, the deep thirst that is within every man's heart, that you will no longer hunger and thirst. Your needs will be satisfied in Jesus Christ. And if you've been born again this morning, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He is the bread of life. He also said that I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He's the door. He's the only door. And that through him and through him alone, you will be saved. He's God. And all that he says is true. Also, his death on the cross was accepted by the Father. Jesus Christ paid the sin debt of mankind on the cross. And because of that, because he is our substitute, took our place on the cross, experienced hell on the cross, we are now accepted by the Father. And this is only by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Accepted by the Father. His death on the cross was accepted by him. And also those who put their faith in Christ will be accepted by the Father because it's by faith alone. Faith alone. I grew up in the church. Thought being a good guy would get me to heaven. I thought if I went to church with my parents that, you know, I was doing my religious deed. I was as lost can be. I thought working my way to God would save me. It's by faith alone. Titus says, not by works of righteousness you are saved, but by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, those who are joined to Jesus will be raised with him, and listen to this, are going to heaven. Just as you heard the testimony of Cardi's son Mark, who trusted in Jesus Christ, Mark is in heaven. Those who are joined with Jesus Christ are going to be in heaven. You say, this sounds pretty arrogant. It isn't. Because Jesus Christ paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He has washed it white as snow. It's based upon Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's why we have confidence and we have assurance that we're going to heaven. It's all based upon what Christ accomplished on the cross. And by the way, for those who reject Jesus, they will stand before him, not as Savior, but as judge. Revelation chapter 20 tells us about the great white throne judgment. No one will be there except Jesus and the lost person. Important to get things right with God. It's not by joining a church, not by being a member at a church. It's not by being religious, not by counting beads. Grace through faith. Look at our last verse here, verse 7. Notice he says, go and tell. He says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you in Galilee. There you will see him, and behold, I have told you. He's saying, tell others he is risen from the dead. Tell others. Another word is share the gospel. This is the Christian he's speaking of. Speaking to the ladies, but ultimately to the Christian. Share the gospel. What is the gospel? Gospel is, or what does it mean? Simply means good news. Good news. What is the good news? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. As you heard this morning in the scripture reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says that Christ died according to the scriptures, that's the Old Testament, Christ was buried, and Christ rose from the dead according to the Old Testament scriptures. In a nugget, Christ died, Christ was buried, he rose again, is the gospel. You say, what do I have to do to be a Christian? What do I have to do? Well, first of all, you have to acknowledge you're a sinner. You have to acknowledge that you don't sin once in a while, you're a sinner. You're a sinner by birth and a sinner by choice. You are responsible for your choices and your sins. I am responsible for my choices and sins. Romans 3, 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have. Romans 6, 23 says that the wages of sin is death. That is spiritual separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. It's a free gift. So you have to acknowledge that you're a sinful person. You're a sinner. We all are. Second, you must repent of your sins. It's not simply being sorry. It means turning from your sins. That is, living a sinful lifestyle, you must turn. And the Greek word for repent is metanoia. It means to make a U-turn and go the other direction. And God gives you the power, listen, he gives you the power to turn and repent so that you could live a new life in Jesus Christ. You must see yourself as a sinner. You must repent from your sins and turn to Christ. So we see you have to acknowledge you're a sinner. You have to repent of your sins. You must receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the children of God, as many as those who believe on his name. So you acknowledge you're sinful, you must repent of your sins. It's not just an intellectual assent that Jesus died on the cross, Jesus was buried, and that he rose again. I believe that. Many people sit in church pews today that just have the mental assent. There's repentance involved, and there's a receiving of Jesus Christ. Before we close out the service, I ask you all to close your eyes, bow your heads with me in prayer. This morning, if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why not on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday? Why not? The Lord knows your heart. He knows where you're at. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Turn from sin. And ask Him in your heart right now. He's looking at the motive of your hearts. He's not looking specifically at words. Just turn. Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. Cleanse me. Make me a new person this morning. And for some of you this morning, I don't know. Don't know your hearts. You play church. Some of you don't go to church. I don't know. Play church. And you really want to turn to God. Let me encourage you this morning. Please do that. Please do that. It's the best decision you could ever make. Turn. Receive Jesus. Father, I want to pray for those this morning that have prayed in their heart that they want to get right with you, they want to get clean with you. I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, you'll reveal yourself in a great way. You'll work in their hearts, Lord. That change will take place. You said in your word that he who has the Son has life, he who does not have the Son does not have life. What a glorious promise you've given of eternal life, Lord. Thank you for those that have responded in their hearts, Lord, on Resurrection Sunday. And Lord, we lift up the rest of the service, Lord, as we are about to partake of communion. I pray, Lord, that our hearts are ready to receive that, Lord, that we will remember your death, burial, and resurrection, Lord, until you come. And Lord, as we break the bread and drink the cup, help us to remember that you're coming back soon. And what a glorious day that will be, Lord. You're coming back soon, and we rejoice in that. So we lift up the remaining part of the service, and we also lift up the day today, Lord. This is the day that you've made. Help us to be rejoice and be glad in it. And may you be glorified in our lives, Lord. It's in Jesus' precious name, all God's people said. Amen.